slate, but we have one more commissioner to show up. He should be here any second. So I want to welcome everyone to the meeting. This is a few more than average over the past few years, so welcome to everybody. Appreciate your dedication, discipline to take time out of your schedule to actually be here, so appreciate it. Let's see. First item is the roll call, please.
Commissioner Snoppa?
He's in the parking lot.
Okay. Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Commissioner Christopher?
Here.
And Supervisor Couch?
I texted him, and I'm not sure he's going to be here. It's not looking good, but okay. Second item is approval of summary of proceedings for January 19th.
I make a motion to approve,
and I will second.
Okay, no discussion? Good. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No, thank you. Consent agenda, there is nothing. Okay. Public presentations. I'll just read it. Oh, before I do, please silence your electronic devices. We had a couple of infractions last time. Just put it on mute. And also, if you guys need to talk, and I understand there's a discussion, just please do it out in the hallway, okay? Because it was kind of, I couldn't really see and hear what was going on last month. So you guys need to talk, please take it out in the hallway. Okay, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and we have an official timer up here. One of our commissioners is the timer of this meeting because the clock is not working. So, anything from row one that you would like to speak? Okay. Row two.
I'll go.
Michelle, okay.
Michelle Vallejos, 93311. I know that you probably, well, hopefully you guys talk about tonight the postage of this, I don't know what it's called, California facility permit. Is that what it's called?
Commercial animal.
Commercial. Okay, the commercial animal facility permit thing. That is going to start to be enforced a bit more. And this is in regards to that, which is 40 in our ordinances now. And a part of having me sit on a committee for about a year going over those ordinances and those breeding ordinances that we were trying to create, and one of my personal concerns with what's created now is that it allows for one litter per year without having that permit, which was my concern, and I'm under the impression that this is going to be floated over into what the new ordinances are going to be, and I still don't understand. And maybe I will one day, if accidental litters are part of our problem here in Kerr County of overpopulation, why are we still going to allow for them? That's something I still haven't been able to balance out. I haven't had the appropriate response that makes me understand that. And I'm still struggling with it. I'm happy that we're moving in the right direction, like I truly am. I just don't, that one free litter, I don't understand it. Especially since, the problem we have here is overpopulation.
Thank you. Our director is probably going to comment about that later on the program. Anybody else? Sunday?
No.
Okay. Michael?
Sorry, I can't get up there.
Should have left more.
Yeah.
Michael Coleman, HERA, 93305 area code. I just have one quick question also regarding the breeding thing. There's a exotic pet store here called Marquez Pets located at 1338 South Union Avenue, and they mostly sell exotic pets like birds, turtles, a lot of pigs and stuff like that. When I say exotic, you know, I'm sure some of them are endangered, but I'm not sure if they have to have a permit or anything to breed those. They have a lot of pigs just in kennels all smashed in together. Last year around this time, I personally moved 600 pigs out of Kern County, and I definitely don't want to do that again. The pet store may be doing it the responsible way, but my thing is, you know, people are adopting these animals, you know, are they going to get these animal pigs so they can continue breeding them? We have just a big problem as people thinking they could adopt pigs here in town, and you know, once they grow up and start acting like pigs, they don't want them anymore. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. I get tagging pig posts every single day of people wanting to rehome their pig. And, oh, my pig's like acting up. What do I do, you know? And it's just crazy. But yeah, my biggest question was just about that store. Are they doing that legally? Is there any way we can check up on them? And they'd like to get some answers about that later. Thanks.
Can you give us the address one more time?
It's 1338 South Union.
What's the name of the?
Marquez Pets.
Marquez?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Anybody else on table two? Okay. Annie Spence is table for you. Table three, nothing. Please come on up.
Hello, Carrie Zaninovich, 93314. And first of all, I just want to, as a longtime volunteer with Kern County Animal Services, I want to say thank you. I have seen a huge change at the shelter since just the past, you know, few months with the awareness. So there's some positive things going on, and I really appreciate that. More volunteers are coming in. People are reaching out personally. So thank you for everything in that regard. And also, last meeting, commissioners, we did talk about, or I brought up the fact that when I'm volunteering, the breeds that I see the most of, that the overpopulation problem is, pit bulls, huskies, chihuahuas, and German shepherd. And I'm just wondering, with this this ordinance that has already on the books, but that's going to be enforced, if those four breeds are going to be addressed at all, and if there is a way to report, that the shelters can report numbers as to where they are seeing the highest number of breeds come in, and if that's even looked at, or if that's something that that you care about, and if it is, if there's something that can be done about that, if it's a breeding restriction in regards to those four breeds, just until we can get the problem controlled in Kern County. Just wondering if there was any talk. So anyway, those are my concerns. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Nothing breed specific at this point in time that's being discussed.
And no, okay, not yet, but maybe in the future? Possibly. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on table three? Table four. I know you've got plenty of people that want to speak back there. Nobody? Oh, come on out.
My name is Mike Kane. I live at 11322 Round Mountain Road. I basically just want to make a couple of statements. First of all, I want to thank all of you who are involved with rescuing pets and doing whatever you can to help the animal community. I'm pretty sick and tired of the things that we see out there where we live in the country. We seem to have become quite a popular dumping ground. And it makes me very sad. My wife and I have rescued several animals out there. We've watched them float down the river dead. We've seen them run over by vehicles. We've seen what's left of them after the coyotes get a hold of them. We've seen the carcasses left after they starve to death. And it's terrible. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I appreciate everybody here. I certainly appreciate the commission, and basically that's all I want to do.
Good. We like those positive feedback, because even though I've heard it before, it's good to reinforce that. So we appreciate your comments.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't see anyone else raising their hand on table four, so we'll bring it back up to the head table. So at this point, we have staff announcements or reports.
Is that me?
That's you.
Okay.
Evening, everybody. My name is Dave Cullen. I'm the director of Kern County Animal Services. I'm just going to go over a few highlights, mostly highlights, for the month of January. Just to address a few things. I think Commissioner Geary already answered it, but the enforcement of the commercial animal facility permit is not breed specific, nor was it ever intended to be breed specific, and the enforcement will not be breed specific as we move forward. Michael, you mentioned Marquez. If you could email the email address that was on that post, which is CAFP@kerncounty.com.
Right.
Just give us some of the specifics,
if I do,
and we'll be able to. And then I know Michelle had mentioned her concern. I think the wording you used is some bleed over. It's not what this is. This is simply enforcement of the commercial animal facility permit. I want to correct something too. There was some reference that we're going to begin enforcement. We've always enforced. If you can think about it in realistic terms of enforcement, a commercial animal, somebody that's selling dogs and cats, we have never actively enforced that, which means have somebody call the numbers in the ads, find out if they're city and county, pretend to be a member of the community, follow up with them, document that they've sold and that it's in the camp. That's never been done. We have issued sites for commercial animal facilities before, but they're always an ancillary enforcement action. So we're there for cruelty, we're there for neglect, or some other type of complaint, and we determine while we're on property that they're in violation and they need a permit, and then it's addressed. The difference here is it's just assigning one person to begin to play that role of doing those things that I had just mentioned. It is not meant to surpass or supplement any work that we did. I was on that committee. I was in that committee too. And no, that's not what this is. And I've had questions come up from both folks that are in favor of strong legislation against breeding, and the same concern from people that are on the other end of things. They want to know why we're enforcing those laws. Because it's a law. And because I don't like that people are selling dogs, huskies, when I have a shelter full of huskies that don't guarantee to make it out alive. So I don't care if I get a law passed in 3 months from now. I'm going to start catching people that are selling huskies now and force them to get a permit. I'm not going to wait 3 months to perhaps, maybe, you know, we pass some legislation that's going to go before the commission and then to the board. Who knows? But I was able to free up some resources so that I can assign one person that has some familiarity and some experience with enforcing commercial permits to do nothing but this. And as of March 1st, she'll be reassigned to do just that. So I ask that if you read the Facebook post, or if you didn't, if you have questions about whether you need a commercial animal facility permit, email CAFB@kerncounty.com. If you have questions about whether some hypothetical situation would call for a commercial animal facility permit, email CAFB@kerncounty.com. If you see a neighbor that has a sign up that says puppies for sale, they might not have a permit to do that. Email CAFB@kerncounty.com. I have one person, so be patient, but we're going to look into it.
Volunteers will go. I love that.
So I just wanted to, before I even, yes.
But wouldn't they not need the permit if it was just one litter? that year?
We're talking about two different things, Michelle. You're talking about Breeze, I'm talking about Sylvie.
Oh, got it.
So, can we enforce breeding? Yes. Is it harder to enforce breeding? Yes. It's not as hard to enforce somebody that's selling dogs or cats. You advertise it, you're doing it, you need a permit. Also, if anybody would like to approach any, if anybody would like to approach any local media outlet, especially one that charges money for ads, and maybe ask them why they allow everybody who's anybody to post an animal for sale without asking them if they have a permit to do it legally, you know, I think that they should be called out for that, whoever that, those publications might be. I've had a commitment from local newspapers before in years past that they would not accept paid ads for animals for sale unless they presented a commercial animal facility permit number. And it doesn't look like the local publications are doing that anymore. And to me, that seems a little disingenuous to write articles calling out local animal shelters for not doing enough when you yourself are allowing people to advertise puppies and kittens for sale without a permit to do it.
Nick, do you have a few names of publications that you know now?
I'm not going to call anybody out, man.
Well, I mean, it would just be a way for us to reach out to them.
I think you can probably.
I'll get that. We'll circle back.
So I just
find back to that.
There's a lot in animal welfare in Kern County that we need to address. And I'm not saying that anybody's more responsible than another. You know, our organization is doing our best and we're responsible for things, and people in this room are responsible for things, and each publication in Kern County that allows people to promote the sale of dogs and cats in Kern County without a permit, you know. Everybody plays a role, but it's my personal opinion that
it was turned off.
Okay, after the director's report, we'll open it for questions. Okay, just hold them, and then we'll get everybody's question.
So I'll be brief, and I wanted to touch on something that Commissioner Blackburn had mentioned to me prior to the meeting that really deserves to be highlighted. But our foster program, we're surviving by our foster program right now, just because animals that we can't get spayed or neutered quick enough, they're leaving for foster care. Our vaccine clinic's very important to us right now. We're just trying to get vaccines out in the community's pets because there's still so much distemper in the community and shelters. So we're just trying to get as many vaccines as we can out there in the community. We still are offering free parvo distemper vaccines to any pet owner. City or county, doesn't matter. We are doing Tuesday evening clinics between the hours of 5 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. We try to do them as often as staffing allows. In February, we did every other Tuesday. In January, we did every Tuesday. We're gonna really make an attempt, as staffing allows, to do every Tuesday in the month of March. Petco Love is funding this effort through free vaccines. They've given us vaccines. They've given us over 1,000 vaccines, cat and dog vaccines, to vaccinate our community. So please spread the word. Like, it doesn't matter, city or county, come and get your dog vaccinated. You don't even have to buy anything. No purchase necessary. And we're also doing that at any spay-neuter clinic that we're putting on for SNP bus. We're doing it at off-site vaccination clinics. They're all free vaccines, while supplies last. Also, there's a flyer on the back there that says volunteers needed. Honestly, the more volunteers we can get for Tuesday night vaccine clinics, just for help with line control, to answer questions, the more volunteers we have, the more the likelihood that we can do them every Tuesday and get the vaccines into the pets that need the most. So if you know of anybody that's able to volunteer to help out on those Tuesdays, there's a flyer back there. It's got an email address. Shoot them an email and they'll contact you. We had an off-site clinic in Rexland Acres. That was our first off-site vaccination clinic that we've done in 2 years. And it was not a good turnout. What we realized, we kind of already knew, but we, at the time that we were gearing up for an off-site vaccine clinic, we just didn't have the staff to canvas areas in advance. So that's like officers or staff members going around in the community in advance of a clinic and knocking on doors, giving them packets of informational material to
to encourage people to come out to the clinic. So we didn't do that, and as a result, it was not as successful as we'd like. It was the Saturday before that. We only issued 23 rated vaccines, 34 cargo distemper vaccines, and 6 microchips. We were only out there for about 2 hours, and then nobody was showing up, so our staff left. Our Tuesday evening clinics have been pretty successful in the month of January. 149 rabies vaccines, 300 parvo distemper vaccines, 80 microchips, and 30 feline vax. Again, those feline vax and parvo distemper vaccines are free to the community. And again, that is through the generosity of Echo Love. That is their campaign. They're really going to be doing a nationwide vaccination push in March. You're going to see local ads and national ads of the need to get your pets vaccinated. So that's why I said, like, we need as many volunteers as we can to help out to administer vaccines on Tuesdays. To date, we've given out over 650 free vaccines for parvo distemper. It's nothing like what Critters Without Litters is doing, but we're trying to do our part. Over 225 feline vaccines. Again, any resident, regardless of jurisdiction, can get a free parvo distemper vaccine or a vaccine for their cat. Adoptions, slow, 143 dogs, 24 puppies, 22 cats, and 32 kittens. Statistically, I wanted to point something out. You know, Commissioner Blackburn came to me prior to the meeting, and he was like, hey, what's going on with statistics? You know, your overall save rate is just under 78%. He wanted to know why that is. You know, I think the statistics show that 58% of all adult dogs in the month of January, 58% survived. 42% of the large dogs that came in were euthanized, approximately. Important to keep in mind that it's 1 month, but it's also important to compare the statistics of last year to this year. The primary difference is that last year we took in about 350 less dogs in the month of January than we did this year. So more dogs, less space means decisions that are not easy. Just wanted to get that out.
Thank you.
I'm all about celebrating when we've done well. You know, I'm all about no kill. It's an awesome thing. You know, we want to save every single animal, but I also don't want to get up here and not tell you when we're not succeeding. And we haven't in the month of January. You know, 58% of the large breed dogs that came into our facility survived, but 42% didn't. And you know, we will go back to the drawing board, and we're constantly thinking of different ways of engaging the rescue community, trying to incentivize some of the rescue community to take some of the animals that we need rescued. A lot of these large breed dogs, you know, they just need to get out of the kennel. They need to participate in play groups, like some of you may have participated in. So we're just trying to be creative in some of the things that we do to market the animals that we have, especially those high-risk animals, which, as you can see in the statistics, it's adult dogs, specifically large breed dogs. Rescues, in the month of January, 36 dogs, 71 puppies went to rescue, 5 cats and 2 kittens. You know, I've talked about this before, that our rescue numbers are much lower than what they have been in years past. You know, there's plenty of reasons for that. Folks are scared to pull animals from Kern County right now for good reason. You know, they don't want to rescue an animal that potentially is harboring something that's going to cost them thousands of dollars to treat. And who knows if it'll survive. It could spread to the other animals in their facility too. So it's a scary situation for a rescue, especially one that's in a jurisdiction that doesn't see distemper very often. So it's understandable, but you know, we're trying to re-engage with some of the rescue organizations and ask if there's something that we can do to try and lower the risk. You know, there's one local rescue, a couple local rescues who we were able to provide a higher level of medical care while that animal was in our possession, so that when you do get it, you know, the surgery, there was a major surgery, amputations needed to be done, so that we are taking care of that. You know, we're trying to, you know, see if we can provide PCR testing so that there's some, you know, mitigation of risk there for some of these rescues. So we did run 2 adoption promotions in the month of January. They kind of ran over each other. We participated in the
the Best Friends Live Large campaign, which was from January 15th to the end of January. Best Friends was doing a nationwide push of adopting large breed dogs from your local animal shelter. Again, 42% of our large breed dogs, mostly large breed dogs, do not make it out alive. It's not a coincidence that the Best Friends Society was promoting large breed dogs in the month of January, because what we're seeing is what most animal shelters are seeing across the nation. This is an inability to get large dogs out of the shelter. We also ran a concurrent adoption special, which was ran throughout the month, $22 for all adoptions. Our field services ran 1,340 calls for service, 46 dogs returned to their owners in the field, 86 dogs were secured on property. I do want to say, I won't say who it was, but we had one officer who secured 52 of the 86 dogs. One officer that did that. It was Officer Castillo. Our volunteers, I'm happy to say that we had over 306 hours that were donated by volunteers in the month of January. Some of you are in the audience.
I forget to log in, though, so.
I do, too.
Well, look, I know I need to because I stay there all day sometimes.
You probably did 306.
I did, probably, so I'm going to start doing that. I just forget. So, for the record, I have a lot more than it's showing. Sorry about that.
You all should probably contribute as well. But just in the month of January, we've been able to welcome 90 new volunteers. We maintained 80 of them active in the month of January. Active just means that they have committed to a shift in that month.
They're really, we've seen some great ones.
Again, there's a flyer in the back. If you didn't see it, it's also in the director's report about our need for volunteers for upcoming vaccination clinics. Again, you know, there's really no answer other than to provide some upstream solutions to the problems we see. And too much illness, too much disease in the shelter, in both our shelter and shelters in Kern County. The only solution to that is vaccination. So it's important. And the more clinics we can put on, the more volunteers we have, the more clinics we can put on, the more vaccines we can get out into our community. We are going to be participating in World's Pay Day. World's Pay Day is February 22nd. Again, these are big problems, disease in our community and animals, and too many animals in our community. So try to provide some solution to that. So we are participating in World Spay Day. World Spay Day is a nationwide pledge by animal shelters to focus on spay neuter on February 22nd of every year. We're participating again this year. Our goal is to spay or neuter over at least 125 animals on February 22nd at the animal shelter. We have four veterinarians who have volunteered. No, they're not volunteering. Let me correct. They're being paid well. But they have committed to doing surgeries that day. So we're going to have two veterinarians in our surgical room. We're going to have one veterinarian and our spay-neuter coach. Our spay-neuter coach that hasn't really been operable for quite some time. And then we have Sniff Bus coming on site, too. So those four veterinarians are going to be busy, and our goal, like I said, is to spay and neuter 125 animals on February 22nd. That's a massive undertaking, you know, 125 spay and neuter appointments in one day, and organizing them to come in at a certain time and to fix them and recover them, it's tough. So if anybody is willing or able to volunteer for that, you can email, I think it's the email address is on that volunteer flyer. In fact, yeah. States. Volunteers. Animal services, yeah. Volunteer at kerncounty.com. Another real important piece of information that actually we rolled out this week. We partnered, I mentioned this at some prior meetings, but we partnered with a licensing organization, pet licensing organization, it's called DocuPet. I'm going to be talking about this a lot in coming meetings. If you have questions, you can come and ask me because I have questions. DocuPet is an organization that that animal shelters, well, animal shelters that maintain the licensing responsibility for the jurisdiction, they can partner with DocuPet for a fee, and DocuPet basically manages the licensing program. So they, like if you, one of the areas that we've struggled in years past with licensing, and let me draw a conclusion here why licensing is so important. Licensing revenue is what funds animal services. If you don't license your pet, which we have poultry licensing compliance in Kern County, We can't function. I can't hire new personnel. I can't maintain personnel. Licensing is the lifeblood of what we do. If we don't pursue licensing, then we can't bring in revenue to continue to do the things that we do. Also, 10% of your licensing fee goes to spay and neuter. We have a trust fund that we're going to be exhausting this year to complete all of our spay and neuter activities. So license your pet, please. DocuPet takes on all those responsibilities, and what we've always struggled with is having the resources. By resources, I mean people. To call people when their license is about to expire, to call them if their license is expired, to send them correspondence in the mail to tell them that their license is going to expire, to really put a personal touch to folks licensing their pets. That's what this organization does. They take it all off of our plate, and they're the ones that communicate with the pet owners about when their license is going to expire. They send mailers. They have they're multilingual. So that's a long way of me saying that effective now, immediately, your current county pet license is going to look vastly different. And I say that because if you went onto the Animal Services website right now and purchased a license, and they'll mail you a license in the mail, first of all, the license that you get, that your license fee, looks radically different. But the other option that pet owners have, I took a cue from Danny, is that they can customize their license now. They can have engraved on the license their address and their phone number, and they can personalize the license to whatever they want. And there's a ton of options. I have a handful of them if anyone wants to see them. There's like tennis balls and like sports teams, and you can put names on them. There's no limit to how many different personal issues, and that's your county tag. So our hope is that we're kind of capturing the people that wanted identification tags and just maybe encouraging them to license their pet to get their identification tag. So, if anybody wants to take a look at the new licenses, I have a few with me. I can show you so you're familiar with them. And it is a pretty big undertaking for our team to get this off the ground. A lot of work behind the scenes. But we think it's really going to increase licensing revenue. We think it's going to be an offering to the community that's not there now. And we just think it's going to be beneficial all around.
Are there any repercussions if, say, someone doesn't pay that?
Yes. Yeah. So okay. But that even before DocuPet, it's a law to license your pet. So a lot of people just get a ticket.
Okay.
And they have to license their pet, which is how the majority of people license their pet anymore.
Thank you.
If you go to our website right now, the links have all been changed. It's still the same stuff. If you go to License Your Pet, it'll take you to a different website. Still branded Kern County Animal Services, but it'll take you to a different site. Our spay and neuter program in January was busy. We did a spay and neuter clinic with Sniff Bus January 7th, 8th, and 9th, and again on the 22nd and 23rd. The 7th, 8th, and 9th produced 173 spay and neuter surgeries, and then the 22nd and 23rd saw 124 spay and neuter surgeries. Those are on owned animals, not sheltered pets. We have 5 dates in March, the 10th, the 11th, the 17th, and the 18th, and then again on the 26th. The 26th will be in Boron to service Boron, North Edward, and some of those areas out there. Somebody at last month's meeting mentioned Buttonbullo. So we're scheduling a clinic in April in Buttonbullo. Somebody had also mentioned...
Lost Hills.
Yeah, that's a tough one because Buttonbullo and Lost Hills aren't super close, but we kind of figured we're going to be able to get them out to Buttonbullo, and hopefully some of the Lost Hills residents can get out to Buttonbullo. But we're going to promote in both Buttonbullo and Lost Hills. But somebody had also mentioned Lamont. So we'll be out in Lamont in March. One of those 4 dates, I'm not sure which one it is right now, but one of those dates is in Lamont. We also have some flyers in the back for a vaccine clinic that we're putting on in Lamont. It's for the Lamont-Arvin area. Please spread the word. I don't have the public education and enforcement team that I used to, which were canvassers. So these off-site vaccine clinics are... We're just relying on word of mouth, really, just to get people to show up at these clinics so they're successful, because, like I said, the recommended one was not successful. That last page right there, I just want to give a shout out. I don't know, is this over here? Is anybody from Friends here? The Friends Foundation, if you don't know, the Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation is a really awesome foundation. They've been around for a long, long time. It's the mid-2000s. And their purpose is really just to help all the animal shelters in Kern County. They're not just there to support Kern County's animal shelter, all of the shelters in Kern County. And their nonprofit supports the actions of those organizations when it benefits the animals, for the most part. And in a couple weeks ago, you know, obviously if you look at statistics, if you come to these meetings, you know, the amount of animals that are euthanized in Kern County shelters has increased month over month, for the most part, for about 4 months now. It's tough for me to explain to you the emotional damage it does to staff to have to take a pet and euthanize it. You know, it's bad enough if you have to go out at 2 a.m. and rescue a dog that's been hit by a car. You know, it's also equally bad to take an animal that's done nothing wrong other than to end up at the shelter and we have no space, and you've been caring for it, feeding it as an employee for 2 weeks, and you're going to march it back and watch it take its last breath. So, and a lot of our staff has been hired, you know, for a couple of years, and they haven't experienced euthanasia very much, at least not to the level of what we're seeing in the last couple of months. What we're seeing in the last couple of months is a lot similar to what we saw in 2019, you know, same amount of euthanasia that was happening, which is, you know, more than a lot of these staff members are used to, and we've lost a few staff members. They just couldn't handle it. So, you know, we're really trying to, among other things, focus on, you know, just appreciation for our staff. So we reach out to the Friends Foundation. Friends Foundation, they bought Starbucks gift cards in the $20 dollar amounts, and we're doing some staff appreciation things twice a month. Little quizzes that we send out, and the staff answers them, and they get over 80%. They get put on a little spinning wheel and spin the wheel, and they choose their name. They get a $20 gift card. We do that twice a month now. And also, the Friends Foundation has purchased some gift cards so that there can be a staff appreciation lunch every month for the next couple months. So I just wanted to, even though they're not here, thank the Friends Foundation. Anytime we need something, we reach out to them, and they're always there. So if you're looking for somebody to support the community, the Friends Foundation is a really good one. Just to touch on, I think I kind of touched on it, but the commercial animal facility permits, like we had already mentioned, that the commercial animal facility permit was created in 2008. It was a transition away from a breeder's permit. We had a breeder's permit prior to 2008, and then they did away with that and renamed it the commercial animal facility permit. It was more than renaming, but... And so what we've done now is we have just focused one employee on nothing but commercial animal facility permits. And as I had said earlier, if you are curious if you need a permit or you need to know hypothetically if you might need a permit, if you have questions about what it means to be a commercial animal facility, email cafp@kerncounty.com. And again, you know, selling puppies without a permit in Kern County is not legal without a permit. So if you see somebody selling puppies without a permit, shoot us an email, and we'll do the best we can to investigate. That concludes the director's report.
Okay, I'll open up questions to the commissioners first on my right. Any questions?
The World Spay Day, what are the hours that you're doing it?
I mean, I think some of our vets are getting there at 7 a.m. But there's an email address and a phone number. People call the email address. No, they call the phone number, mm-hmm. and they send an email or send an email, and then we schedule them and tell them to come in at a particular time. So there's really no...
I'm talking more about volunteer.
Oh, that could be all day. depending on what we might have you do, I mean, anything is appreciated. Recovery is real important, just transferring animals from the surgery room out to recovery kennels. making phone calls for people to come get their animals. I mean, it could be from 7 a.m. until 2 or 2.30 p.m., but if you can only commit an hour or two, we'll probably make use of it either way.
And on the DocuPet, so they don't canvas or do anything like that, like repeat people used to do.
They don't physically canvas. They do send out mailers.
Okay. And do they have any enforcement power or no?
No.
They're just doing the licensing.
There is some bleed over into our administrative citations. It gets a little complex, but there are times when people will have their license expire, and for whatever reason they're unable to be contacted, and an administrative citation can be mailed in those instances. But for the most part, our officers still have the enforcement.
I was curious about our own in-house vet. Have you got any applicants for that job or any?
Not that I know of. I'm not handling the recruitment for that, the county administrative offices, but I'd like to believe that I would be the first to know if we got an applicant. But we have, I should have included that. We did increase the compensation package. So the starting salary for the veterinarian is now $175,000 to start annually. And that's to start. So I say that because the salary is negotiable from there based upon experience. There's also a $25,000 sign-on bonus.
Okay.
The county will also cover your moving expenses.
I saw that with the sheriff's department. If anyone moves, like from LA, $25,000 signing bonus, that's pretty neat. So.
Yeah, the other thing that is a benefit to the next veterinarian, assuming they come soon, is they're going to have the ability to have a significant influence on the design of a new animal shelter.
Nice. Do you want to comment on the new animal shelter? I mean, as far as where any work that's been done?
No work has been done.
Okay.
There is a property that the county is negotiating, and that's all I'll say.
So you've leased the property that you're at right now, and when is that?
Fruitvale?
Do you own it or do you lease it?
It's a lease.
It's a lease, okay. When is that lease up, or when are you trying to move by? What is there a ballpark date?
Well, the lease expires in 3 years, but the lease expiring has nothing to do with the time frame. We could just extend the lease.
I got you.
Okay. I do have a question.
I know it's too small, but okay. All right.
I have a quick question.
Okay. Oh, you do?
I had somebody come into the store yesterday, and they had tried to call Kern County and interested in adopting a large breed dog. They called, they emailed, they were never able to get to a person. I recommended that they go down there, that they roll out the red carpet for them, but I'm just wondering if you have enough staff to handle the kind of calls that you're getting on a daily basis for adoptions.
Talking about phone calls?
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Okay, because she left messages, was never replied to.
Yeah, we are
actively seeking to adopt a large dog.
We have three staff members that are clerical, I guess you could say. I say clerical, but they clean kennels and foster dogs and participate in play groups, but they're clerical, and they're the same people that you're going to check in with to turn in a stray animal, same people that are going to sell you a license, same people that are going to process your adoption. And at any given time when they come in on a Monday morning, there's 90 phone calls that they have to listen, 90 voicemails. So I'm not making excuses, but there are times when it is several days before you get a call back if you get a call back.
Okay, I don't know the time frame of how long she tried, but for people living in the outlying areas to, you know, drive 50 miles for the chance that that dog is still there, you could see why a phone call could
absolutely
have gone a long way. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, other questions? Any questions from table number one? Go ahead.
I have a question about the DocuPet. Is that a service that is being paid for? That, you know, I don't know if it's based on per permit or the county is paying for that? Or?
So the DocuPet is a contractual agreement, yes.
Okay.
We pay for that service. It's a percentage of the projected license sales.
Okay. Okay. And the reason I ask is, it sounds like permits, once they expire, there's a correspondence that's delivered. I'm thinking, it sounds like with the clinics and like the no-show thing, that maybe like services were appointment reminders or things like that, so somebody could get a text. Because I know personally, like, I've gone to things and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get it. But if I get a reminder that tells me, hey, you know, you put your name on the list, go, and then that can help your facility know, hey, we can anticipate this many. So I don't know if that's something that, since you're already paying for it, that service provides.
Are we talking two different things?
Yeah, I think we're talking. Okay. So document is strictly licensing.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. I didn't know.
I wish they did handle other things, like scheduling for spay.
I'm just trying to get extra stuff if you're already paying for it. So that's what I'm saying, if that's something that's built over to it as a service. But
The reason why we partnered with them, well, first of all, we got some recommendations from some other agencies, and it's just been beneficial, is that the amount of work that goes behind the scenes to send out reminder cards if your license expires, and reminding people before it expires of the license. We just know most people, if they're going to license their animal, they're probably going to renew it, but they need a reminder.
Right.
And we are enabled.
Same with appointments. They need reminders.
Yeah, well, yeah. So phone calls, text messages, emails, snail mails, just to remind somebody your license is about to expire. We never had the ability and the resources to be able to do that on a consistent basis. That's what DocuPet does.
Okay.
And that's why we're confident that our licensing compliance, especially our renewal rate, will skyrocket.
Yeah, but that sounds pretty good.
I just don't know.
Kind of getting back to what she was saying, I mean, maybe through them, they offer a CRM, customer relations management, where they can do automation so that we're not having to rely on, you know, people. Where it's like everything is integrated. I mean, as a realtor, there's no way in hell that I could do my work if it's just me. I have to rely on systems and automation to do that, to take away the headache and take away the busy work, so to speak, just so that there is, you know, efficiency.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, we're always looking for ways to make what we do more efficient and leaner if we can. That's what DocuPet offers to us. If they are able to expand and offer their services in other areas, absolutely, we'll take advantage of that.
Okay. Table two, Sunday.
So, you know, we have a big issue with abandonment also. I know that's a really tough one to prove, you know, that kind of stuff. We have one pretty recent. It was three puppies. People were complaining. The owners, you know, were not taking care of the dogs. They looked sick. Kids were dragging the dogs around. Somebody was, you know, approached them. You know, the rescuer approached them. And next thing you know, they made them disappear. Somebody found them in a garbage bag in a field. And two of them were dead already, and then one of them, I guess, made it. So they have the address. Is there anything that can be done for something like that? I'm waiting for the address that they said they were going to get it for me. I'm pretty sure it was county area. I saw the post originally, and I just kind of looked away sometimes. But if we have address and we've got certain situation, is there something that you can do?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw the same post.
Okay. And also the one like with Happy as well. So like, were you able to do anything with that one? Happy, the dog that we took in, the little gray and white pit, he was kept on the patio. Had bloody stool and everything.
Was the question, did we do anything?
Yeah, was there anything that was able to, were you able to pursue anything? Or?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there were citations issued.
Okay. Yes. So, I mean, are they citations and they're followed up on? Is there anything that you guys were able to do that really, you know, I think the hardest part with it is that, you know, we can catch people all the time, but then if something's not truly done or, you know, recorded in some way, they just go out and get more dogs. Do the same thing. I mean, just finally go out and find these dogs in a bag.
So, because somebody receives a criminal citation, it doesn't mean we can monitor them or just pay an unannounced visit. I mean, that's good.
Yeah. But if it's reported they have more dogs and we can report that, it would be.
Again, just owning dogs does not, they didn't break the law just by owning a dog.
Okay.
if they were convicted of cruelty and they were placed on probation and they couldn't own any animals, yes. But because somebody received a citation for something, even if it's cruelty or neglect, that does not allow any law enforcement entity to monitor them or to assume that they're doing something illegal.
If they are doing something. Like, let's say that the people who own, you know, the dog that we took in, and they're, you know, because they didn't think they were doing anything wrong. So they just go get another dog. I mean, he was 41 pounds. He was a boxer pit mix. He was severely underweight, and, you know, he could have starved to death back there. And the people just didn't, they were just like, oh, well, no, there's nothing wrong with him. I don't know if it's just ignorance or they just, whatever, but if they go out and get another dog and they're treating them the same way, then you guys would act on it again and do the same thing all over again, or?
I'm not super sure I understand the question, but I will rephrase my answer in that. If we, an animal control officer or a law enforcement officer, cites somebody for a criminal violation, they can't just assume that you're continuing to do that behavior and take their animals away. Or if somebody commits another crime,
right,
absolutely.
Okay.
But we can't assume that they're committing a crime and investigate them because we assume that.
Well, I wasn't asking that. I'm just saying that if they are caught repeating the same behavior with another animal, then you guys can go.
Yes, anybody that breaks the law as it pertains to animals, absolutely we can look into it if there's evidence that it happened. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on table two? Go ahead.
Just in a nutshell, could you explain to us, some of us that maybe are not familiar with what the commercial animal facilities permit is, if time permits? If not, is there somewhere we could find that information out on your website?
So I have a really easy answer for you. Well, two answers. Number one, you can just do a Google search for Kern County Title VII Ordinance, and that'll have every animal ordinance that exists in the county of Kern, well, every Title VII ordinance, which
Title
is animals.
Title 708015.
Yeah, what Terry said. But to answer it real succinctly, if you sell dogs or cats in the county of Kern, unincorporated areas of Kern County, you need a permit to do it.
So.
Go ahead.
There are exceptions. Animal shelters don't apply. Rescue sanctuaries don't apply. There are exceptions to that.
So like a Facebook post that says rehoming fee applies, would that be considered to sell?
Anybody who engages in the business of selling or buying, there's other things, breeding, boarding, but for this group, I think we're more.
But nowadays, they don't call it selling. They call it rehoming.
It doesn't matter.
Get your chance.
You find it on the internet all the time. I get notifications daily about big puppies being sold in there. You call and find out, try to get them to see if they could surrender to rescue. They go, no. I go, how much is the puppy? $800, $900. But they call it a rehoming fee.
But that's what the officer that's going to be dedicated to following up, that's going to be doing things.
I
like
have
that,
another question. What have you heard about the 7 dogs that were found in county, outside the county area that were dead, tied up?
Yes, I heard about that.
Is anything going to be done about that?
There's nothing that I can do.
I see.
Unless I receive more information about something.
Okay. In the back row, you can wait and please hold your question until we get back to that row. Okay, I'm going to keep this thing going in the right sequence. So you got a question. Go ahead.
What if somebody's in Kern County but they're selling animals outside of Kern County? Is that something you guys would regulate, or is that?
No, only in Kern County.
Only in Kern County.
Okay. Nothing else on table two, right? Table three. Danny?
I have two questions. First question in regards to World Spay Day.
Yes, sir.
Does that typically fill up pretty fast?
In years past, it has. I would say that we've been very active with spay and neuter, to the extent that I think sometimes there's some stepping on toes of different spay and neuter events, but. I suspect that we'll fill all of the slots.
So it's coming up in less than ways. It's coming up this coming Tuesday.
February 27th.
Yes. Do you think by Monday morning it'll all be filled up? Is that, would that be
I, soon? Honestly, I don't know.
They want to take advantage of the services.
But they have to be signed up ahead of time, so it's probably if they have to be signed up ahead of time, right?
Up until we start cutting on animals, I'm sure we'll make.
I'm just wondering on
it's really up to the each veterinarian how many animals.
On Monday the 21st, is it possible there would be still opportunities to get your pet fixed at World Spay Day?
It is possible.
Okay. Cool. Second question.
But I will say, interject. If for some reason we have an individual that can't get in World Spay Day, we have other options. But there's clinics all throughout March. We have more clinics in April. We'll have at least two spay and neuter clinics every month until the end of the fiscal year, which is June. So if somebody wants to spay and neuter their pet, we will get their pet fixed in their county.
All right, cool. My second question is somewhat hypothetical, but it relates to the comment from the back row and these gentlemen and his wife from Round Mountain Road. In regards to this situation where there are certain areas where animals are commonly dumped or abandoned. Now, I know this happens all over, but there are a few areas where maybe it happens a little more. Okay. So my hypothetical question, and I feel like maybe we talked about this privately or maybe you've kind of addressed this publicly, but hypothetically, let's say I decided to invest in, I don't know, $10,000 worth of trail cams. And along the road where this gentleman lives on Round Mountain Road or the area in Cottonwood or whatever. If you could do a little bit of research and isolate and find a general area, and I could set up trail cams that were, where if by doing this I were able to capture a vehicle and a license plate and a dog exiting that vehicle. And if I could verify that dog was still in that area and the owner never came back and picked up that dog, could I bring that evidence to you? And would you be able to do anything with it?
Could you bring that to us? Yes. There's too many variables to tell you whether anything could be done. Because could a case be put together for abandonment? Yes. But will a district attorney accept it? Will they charge? Will they be found guilty or innocent? I can't answer that question. Our animal control officers are not police officers. They're not law enforcement officers. The law is very clear that they're not law enforcement officers, but they try their best to put cases together. But after we put a case together, it's completely out of our hands. It's up to the district attorney's office what they want to charge, which cases they want to accept, whether they can prove that beyond a reasonable doubt this is that dog and this is that person and then this was them doing it. There's just a lot of variables. But yes, we could look at that information.
Okay, so, and in that hypothetical situation, if you felt the evidence was compelling, that would be whatever repercussions or penalties that would be associated with that would be determined by the district attorney and not by Kern County Animal Services?
The fine for that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the question would be the penalty. So, you know, like what I said, if I brought you evidence that seemed to indicate that, if you said, oh, yeah, there's the evidence right there, you know what, I'm going to go find that license plate, I'm going to knock on their door, and I'm going to, fine them whatever, $100 or whatever. Is that something that you would handle? Or, like what you said, a matter of, here's the evidence that we've gathered, and rather than dealing with this at the county animal shelter level, we're going to pass this along to the district attorney, and then the district attorney would have to do the work on it.
So the state of California and the county of Kern set maximum fines and minimum fines and maximum penalties, not necessarily fines, it could be penalties, right? So as you see a law, it's always maximum fine of $1,000 and up to 1 year in jail or something like that. That's a maximum penalty. Those are already laid out. We do not, animal control officers or the director of animal services has zero input on what the actual punishment is.
Okay.
There's maximum penalties that are put forward for most crimes, and there's minimum for some. But no, the only influence we would have on that is the strength of the case that's put together and the evidence that's put forward.
I have something to say off of that. Have you experienced, since you've been here, any video evidence that has gone to the court and ended in some kind of fine or penalty or?
Yes.
Via video that someone brought you?
Yes.
Cool. Okay.
Not the penalty that I would have hoped for, but
right.
Yes.
But just remember, you can video somebody dragging a dog and nothing's going to happen to
right.
Them.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry.
You're
spoke
right.
Out of turn.
Okay, Michelle, the question was answered. Danny, finish. Okay, you have a question?
Hello. Yes, Commissioner Christopher, this is in regards to your statement about your friend not being able to get in touch with someone at the shelter.
Yes.
As a volunteer, I volunteer alongside staff quite often,
mm-hmm.
and they are very busy, and they're doing the best they can. So my advice to your friend is to go to KernCountyAnimalServices.org, go online, get their hours, and go down there.
Yeah,
and
we live in Tatchby, though, so it's a trek, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if your friend can email me personally, and if I'm there, or I can get a hold of someone, and usually they'll get back to me pretty quickly, I'll help. But really, it's just when someone comes in and they adopt a dog, or you know, they're greeted from somebody at the front, and they're greeted with, you know, the most respect.
Oh, I know.
And we do get them back there, and when the dog is adopted, it is a celebration, and staff, volunteers, it's a great thing to happen. So just for I would hate to see the animal not be adopted and the animal lose out on a chance at
yeah.
a home just because you couldn't get in.
Yeah.
Just come in. And sometimes, you know, they don't have the best bedside manner all the time because they're very stressed and they're doing a crazy job.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I know, and she wasn't a friend.
You know,
she was just a customer.
But even come find someone in a green shirt.
That's what I told
you. Know, blue is staff, green is volunteer, and the
yeah.
volunteers, you know, we'll help. We'll do meet and greets. You know, staff's not allowed to do them right now. Volunteers, we are, and we want those animals out.
Sure.
So just send all your people in. Let's get these animals out.
Yeah. Just to add on to that, I appreciate that, Karen. But being able to answer phones and answer questions on a regular basis, consistent basis, and when the questions are answered has been a struggle since I've been with the Moral since 2005. It probably says more about the demand in the community for the services that we offer. But
absolutely.
So it's not anything that's a surprise to us. We really are trying to, again, engage volunteers in ways that we've never engaged in before. You know, and it's not going to solve the problem of the customer that came in, but we know that it's a problem. So our intent is, you know, we have taken a little bit of funding and we purchased some cubicle units that we can install in the front lobby area, I think 6 workstations. And then our community engagement person, Berkeley, she has a small list, but a growing list of volunteers who are willing to be those people. So that what my goal was, and I talked about this previously, is that we created a couple of new positions in the department to specialize in programs. And one of their goals is to have volunteer-based, for lack of a better phrase, problem solving. We're going to be stationed at cubicles with a workstation and a computer and a phone so that when those calls come in, not something simple like, I want to adopt this animal, can you tell me more about it, that they're not added to a voicemail box that's full. So we're really trying to lean into volunteers to help free up some of that backlog. We know it's there. We know that it's actually probably costing animals' lives that we can't answer all the calls. So our solution to that is just to ask the community to come out and help us answer those questions. So
yeah.
We're working towards that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Table 3 or finish, right? Table 4, go ahead, sir.
Pretty much a yes or no question. The Sheriff's Department has a civilian volunteer program. Has that been considered by your department to put some people, other eyes out in the field for compliance issues?
So, yes.
Okay.
We have considered it. These are things that we've tried to solve many, many times. But myself and the former volunteer coordinator, Mr. Jeff George, we had developed what we call the CAP program, C-A-P, Community Action Program. I've got the words. C-A-P. And our goal was to have just that same thing, you know, volunteer-based animal control, you know, that could handle simple neighborhood complaints, barking complaints, things like that. Not to say anything bad about anybody in council.
Putting
volunteers into field situations, it got a little bit complex. It's not that other agencies don't do it. That was the question that I always had. Well, how does the sheriff's department do it? And it's just one of those things that I really do want to enact. I really do want to have a community engagement aspect in the field. You know, handling complaints and calls. It's something I've been working towards for 7 years, to be honest with you.
So. What can we do to help make that happen?
I would say after this meeting, I will give you my card and email me. I have a terrible memory. Mike, I think your name is right.
Yes.
I have a terrible memory, but shoot me an email, refresh my memory, and I think we'll get together. We'll figure something out how to make it happen. And I know that another issue was just basic resources like a vehicle for them to operate, but I think those are stuff that we could probably solve.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, table four. Anybody else? Judy, Terry?
Yes. Hi, Terry Contagic. Kudos to your staff. I was there actually about 3:30 today. One of my cats passed away over the weekend, so I brought her down. $10, you can take care of the body. I was really appreciative. And also for the vaccine clinic coming up, I believe in June in Tehachapi, I volunteered my dog club to get out flyers if you'd like to have some help on that. I don't know if we can do anything media-wise, but we can at least, you know, do some footwork.
We will need the help.
Okay. All right, I'll get in touch with you.
You can get in touch with me, or there's an email address on that flyer back there for volunteers needed.
Okay.
That'll be right to Berkeley, and she'll get back to you. I know that we really are trying to get volunteers to some of those outlying vaccine clinics.
Yes, got the flyers and some scotch tape. We'll
I'm sorry for your loss, but
thank you.
Also, Terry, we have the SNP bus coming in March. I believe it's the 24th. To Tehachapi, and through this, the Petco that is doing the free vaccination clinics, they will also be doing free vaccines on that day.
But we'll help him.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it never hurts to spread the word. The more pets we get vaccinated, the better. And free is free is free is free. So.
Anybody else on table four? Okay. Back row, any? Oh, I don't see any hands raised. Okay. Back row, any questions? Okay.
I'd like to go back to Sunday real quick. I didn't want to leave the answer hollow because I do the dangerous dog hearings and the seizure hearings. So animals have been seized for cruelty, neglect. Now they're it is happening. So I just didn't want you to
wait. No, actually fostered what I was talking about.
Okay.
My thing is just, I mean, we're seeing abandonment and absolute disgusting cruelty out there. I mean, to find puppies strung up dead in a field, like, I mean, it's hard, I get to prove who's doing that. They had posted, I couldn't even look. I understand that it's hard to prove, and that, you know, mice, you know, sometimes it turns out, that's why I was kind of asking Nick what the outcome was with Happy, because it's just, you know, I mean, he was 41 pounds, he's a large breed dog. 41 pounds.
And just to address that also, the situation I had brought up before with the neighbors that we had, they actually, so the lady left, she moved to Boron and abandoned her dogs at the house where she was living.
The one that, the owner of the souls?
Correct. So there's like three of them still that were wandering the neighborhood. One of them had a broken leg, which she just totally ignored. I mean, and it's so frustrating because, again, now she's gone. We can't find her. From what I understand, she has about 20 puppies with her now from all the dogs that she had been letting breed in her yard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is. I totally feel you on that.
Yeah, it quickly gets out of control.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, our last question.
Okay, so I'm a realtor. It is extremely easy to locate people. PeopleSearch.com.
This lady lives in a motorhome just wherever she happens to stop. So it's not easy to locate those kind of people.
No, can I just say one more thing? It's being in the community, being in the public, it is extremely disheartening to be a person that is active in the community, and I constantly hear it from people. It's Kern County. I can't pick up shit. I can do whatever I want. I hear it all the time. You know, do something. And people just have this chip on the shoulder that they're entitled. There's zero accountability, and I think that's where the frustration is coming from, because psychologically, when these people know that they can't get in trouble, they literally do not give a shit. That's the disheartening part, because I see it every day, and I feel like I'm like okay with picking up a case at this point. I'm okay with being a vigilante. I'm okay with being on TV if it means that I'm going to rescue a dog, which is really hard that my husband knows. He's like, damn it. He's like, we need to make more money, because I already know you're going to get yourself in trouble. So,
are you learning?
Yeah, and that's okay.
Thank you for your comment. Okay, we're back to the head table. They asked all the questions. At this point, I'd like to get a motion to receive and file.
I'll make a motion.
Okay,
I'll second.
Okay, thank you. All in favor? Thank you very much. Received. Moving on to commissioner announcements or reports. I'll start on my right.
I don't have it.
Nothing?
Yeah, speaking of the need for volunteers, my other hat that I wear is Central California Animal Disaster Team Kern County Director. Is that long enough? We got together with Nick and asked if we could come down and do anything that they needed. And I liked our assignment. It wasn't picking up poop. We got to take all the dogs. They had certain dogs selected. There were quite a few. And this is something, because of staffing, that the employees and the volunteers who are there on a regular basis don't have time to do. We took these dogs out, which was a task in itself, because they're excited, they're pushing their way out. You don't want to be the one that loses the dog. And then we bring them out to the play yard. And at one point in time, we had at least 10 dogs in that play yard, and what they're doing is assessing the dog's personality, which helps with their adoption. And they just don't have time to do that. So it was really rewarding and exhausting. My shelter sock will be better soon.
Which one was your favorite? Bobbles?
The
Pity Queensland mix with the weird ears?
That's the one that pushed the door off the hinges. And I'm yelling for help, but it's too loud because all the dogs are barking. I'm like, well. But anyway,
she's sweet.
Yes, she is sweet. She's just excited. It was super rewarding, and I think anybody who's able to volunteer to help and do whatever they can, whether it's the clinics or the spay neuter or whatever, come work at the shelters.
I think you're underselling it. Your team allowed us to get 75 dogs out of their kennels and into play groups. And I can't tell you the benefit that does to our staff. I mean, even if not all of those 75 dogs are going to make it out of the shelter alive, you know, our staff, it meant a lot to them. I can genuinely tell you it meant a lot to them. Because their goal, our goal, is to, those are play groups. They can participate, you know. And it's not simply taking dogs out of the kennels to get in a play yard together. It's picking selectively picking dogs for different reasons and different traits and different sizes and documenting how their behavior develops. And we're wanting to get to the point where we do that every day. And we're a long way away from that. So, you know, probably our staff gets to participate in play groups maybe once every 2 weeks right now, like that. And even then, it's only maybe 15 or 20 dogs. So what you and your team did, I just can't even tell you the benefit that it had to the animals and our staff.
Thank you. We'd like to come down quarterly. We'll talk to everybody, kind of work it out, so I'll let you know.
I'll have you down every week.
Can I just say that Norman was adopted as a result of that playgroup, and he had been there since August.
So they,
Norman was the, he's a lab husky mix, but the card said Vicinity. White, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
He was
yeah.
adopted yesterday
nice.
As a result.
Very nice.
Doesn't feel like Tara should be up here.
I know most of the dogs. I spend a lot of time with them. Well, not most of them. A lot of dogs. So,
it's obviously a job is needed even more so. If any other group wants to get together and do that, I mean, I'm sure they would welcome you with open arms. Commissioner Gary also serves as the judge for the dangerous dog hearings. You had one last month. Anything you want to, any experience you want to share with anybody? That you can't share?
I don't think I can,
okay.
can share
anything. Anyway, so she wears a lot of hats. That's all I want to say. Okay. Commissioner Snodgrass, any?
I don't have any announcements, but I do have some comments. I wasn't here last month, so I didn't see what the turnout was. But in general, right, this is one of the bigger ones I've seen, besides when a poli-sci teacher from BC gets people to fill this entire room. So I just wanted to thank all of you for coming, and I hope that you all keep on coming. It really shows that, you know, there is some mobilization around animals here, and the only way we make change is, like, you know, there are a lot of people that are coming to these meetings, paying attention to what's going on with the county, and asking for, you know, more resources to go to this guy so we can actually save some animals. So I just wanted to thank all of you for coming up.
Do you have one thing to add to the director's report, even though you already adopted it? Well, it's not really the director's report, it's just an announcement. Deputy Director Sally Breyer has resigned. Mm-hmm. So if you have correspondence with her in any way connected with animal services, she's no longer with the
county. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so the announcement. So, okay, I do a lot of activities. One of the things that I do is where I buy my pet food is at Petco on Rosedale. And the store manager has become a friend of mine because his wife is a student of mine at Bakersfield College. And so the last year and a half, I've been working on him about moving from cats on the tracks up in Fresno to giving us a chance at Kern County Animal Services. And I'm not sure when that changed. Nick, has it been like 6 months ago that he decided to come back to the county on?
I'm not sure exactly when.
I was in there the other day, and they said, I said, well, where's the animals at? He goes, well, our policy right now is, Petco's policy is, they're not wanting any vendors in the store at this point because of COVID. And so it's always something. But anyway, we've been given that store as a place to place our kittens, like six cubbies there. So anyway, that's one thing. So. That's all the announcements from the commissioners. So we're going to move on to old business, and there is none. Well, understand it for us. So we need to do an update, and I tried to call Janice Anderson. She didn't call back. Update on the AKC reunited fundraising efforts. Does anybody have any? Oh, Sunday wants to talk about it. Yes, she does.
Okay. You're mad at me because I didn't. So see
what just okay. Yeah, I know. She'll hear about it. Does anybody have an update, Terry or anybody, on the AKC Reunite fundraising efforts? If not, we'll keep going. Okay. I know it's ongoing, and I know it's a matching of funds, and I'm not sure what the number is at this point. So we'll move on to item number two, which is the status on the ordinance subcommittee revisions, and Director Coleman is still up there, thankfully.
So, Council McNutt and I met today, well, virtually met, we spoke for a good 45 minutes.
It was an hour.
Was it an hour? You were counting.
I was billing you.
we came to some conclusions on some things in detail, and we will have something before your commission in March.
Okay, good job. Thank you. Okay, I guess nothing else on that then for anyone. Okay. New business. We have I'll call her a guest speaker, Kathy Cornell, who Commissioner Sanapa and I had the pleasure of meeting her on December 11th of last year on a ride-along from Sunday and Michelle. And she was amazing. So I asked her if she wanted to speak to the group. I put her on the agenda. She wants to talk about her efforts in rescuing dogs. And she's also got some educational material that I hope you're ready to talk about. So you've got the floor, Kathy. Kathy Cornell, and she's had some really good success on rescuing dogs, and she hasn't gotten a penny of finance from anybody. She does it on her own. She's not going to tell you that, but I know the truth.
And pardon me for dressing up tonight. I just barely made it. I was up at the crack of dawn and called for a dog, and I just finished. That's why I came in late. In the same area that I took you, I've been tracking a dog out there and was able to finally get him and his companion, and a rescue was going to pick them up. So I think just listening, this is only my second time here, and I never would have in my wildest dreams thought that when COVID hit, because I was a retired school teacher, I was bored. I went out and started putting pans of food out for dogs because people were dumping dogs because they said they had COVID. Okay? So, and it led me to where I'm at now, which is about 3 years into this. Yes, everything comes out of my pocket, and I just do this because I didn't want to be bored, and it's kind of snowballed. I think that everything revolves around the overpopulation of dogs, and the spay and neuter that they're not being taken care of. And I think it's a big culture issue, which is going to lead me into this education part. I go out into the field and some people are rehoming their dogs, they want me to bring home. And it's really sad because I'll drive up to the houses and the little kids, and I'm not knocking any specific race, but it was a Hispanic family, and I noticed that when these little girls were giving up their dogs, there was no tear shed or emotion into this dog, as well as the parents. And if it was me, I would have been crying and pulling the dog back, you know, and saying, you can't have my dog. So it's not necessarily the kids' fault. I think it's a culture thing and the lack of education and how we see dogs. I think a lot of people that I deal with see dogs as a thing, and not a food. Every one of my dogs in the field that I have, that I can't rescue, I feed until I can rescue them. And they already have names. They're a who. I just picked up Patch and Frida today. They've been out there for months. And when I first started this, we would trap and rescue dogs, and they were skin and bones, and they were very, very thin and malnourished. So I said, well, let's start feeding them because I don't have a rescue for them. There's nobody that can foster them. I don't know what to do with them. Let's feed them until I can get an opening into a rescue. That was a great idea because now Frida and Patch was hard to get today. They didn't even really want my rotisserie chicken or my roast beef or hot dogs. So it took a little bit more. But they weren't skin and bones, and they didn't have, you know, and their coat was a lot better. And I have two other ladies which couldn't make it here tonight, and we regularly go out 2 to 3 times a week, and we make sure these pans are filled, and water is left for them. And we've developed some really good rapport with the farmers out there. They've actually given us combinations to gates to get into the property to do this, because they see it as a big problem. And just since late November, December, I have moved 87 dogs out of this county by myself. Because the dogs, and when I first got into this, and the more I did it, the bigger my heart and compassion became. And I keep telling myself, I've got to quit. I can't keep this up because I get so worn out and tired because I can't find fosters. Those dogs that I got tonight, where are they? They're at my house. I'm fostering. And we will transport them. I will transport them. And I have been lucky enough to get some outstanding rescues out of this down south, up north, that have really helped me and educated me in a lot of ways. I'm vaccinating those dogs and holding them 2 weeks, if not longer, to make sure that they don't have that distemper or parvo so that they can take them. So that puts a big burden on me, you know, because I have to do this. But I'm giving these dogs their vaccinations just so that the shelters or the rescues know that it's not going to be a risk for them to take the dog and get everybody else sick. So I've worked that out. I've also come across a lot of wealthy people down in the Santa Barbara area, down south. I have one lady that just contacted me this week and said, hey, I will give you $200 to go towards a spay and neuter of your dog when you get home. And this is out of her pocket. So that's another door that's open. Because I couldn't do that. So I take them to the vet, she calls in a credit card, they're done, and then they're more marketable for the rescues. I also found out that I rescued some puppies that were just thrown in a box alongside the road. Someone just left them there. Well, my house was full, and I did not have time to take care of puppies because they are very time-consuming. I had a lady step up. I had two teenage daughters, and they said, hey, we'll help you. And so I took the puppies over there, and they fell in love with them. But did you know that those girls were able to get high school credit for community service for that? So there is a lot of ways that we can get volunteers to do this, you know, because the kids... And these girls are asking me all the time, how many more puppies? How many more puppies? And they're getting high school credit for community service. And I think my biggest dream would be to just get a piece of land, I mean, a corner or anything that I could put, I'm not talking big, that I could just put five kennels on, or three, to hold the dogs that I rescue so that I don't have to do this. I'm doing this 24/7. I get up in the morning, I get my stuff together, I go out and I trap. Then I have to bring the dogs home because I'm the foster. Then at night, if anything goes wrong, I'm up. So it's nonstop. And so my biggest dream is to get just some land. Maybe county has land somewhere. I'll rent it from them, abandoned land. I'll rent it from you for a dollar a day. You know, let me put some kennels on it and get some kids involved in it and have them come out and help feed and get their community service and high school credits for it. There's ways you could do this, you know, and that's all educational too. So there is a lot of things I learned, and by no means do I know all the answers, and I know I made mistakes along the way because I'm new at it, but I always just say, you know, I'm in it for the dogs. That's all I'm in it for. They have no voice, and everybody out here, and including us, we're the voice for the dogs. And so many abandoned dogs and injured dogs. That three-legged dog that I tracked for 3 years out there when I first started this would play at the edge of the cornfield, and he had, I didn't know if it was a male or female, had two pups with it that would play. I could never really get close to it. So we called it Big Red. Anyway, I was able to trap one of his sons, and he was not acceptable to the human hand. He didn't bite or wasn't aggressive. He just was just terrified. Got along with dogs, but not human. He went up to Washington to a very reputable rescue, and they put him into training. He's living now with other dogs in a house full of people and is doing well. Mm-hmm. Here, about a month ago, the dog that had the three legs, I had lost track of it. And I drive around out there on the farmland, and I was talking to the farmer, and they said, oh, you know, we saw the red dog over here. And I'm like, you did? And he had traveled like 15 miles. So I went over there one evening just out of the slew. By the way, my mom is 93, and she's my sidekick because she does all my videos for me. So I put her in the car and said, hey, Mom, let's go out here. This guy said he saw Big Red over here. I don't know if it was meant from above or what, because I had no idea that when I drove out there that I would see the dog. You know, what's your chance of seeing the dog? Sometimes you don't see him.
Yeah.
So I went out there and I said, oh my gosh, Mom, there he is. And he was so ready to be caught that he finally came to me, because all the other times he wandered off. So I took him in, and he went down to a foster in San Diego, and they were going to take the rest of the leg off because it was just, it wasn't all off, and it was extra weight for him and causing back problems and everything, and the bone was still sticking out. So they went in and they x-rayed it before the surgery. And she sent me the picture of it. and I was just in tears. She says, you want to know how your Big Red, it was a male, and that was his pup, Big Red slash Click was a Big Red dog, lost his leg. I said, yeah. She said, someone had taken his shotgun and shut it off, and she sent me the x-ray, and you could still see the buckshot in there. And not only that, it had broken a bone in there. And I noticed that when I picked Big Red up to get him in my car, when I picked him up, he flinched. And the vet said, yeah, he says, this dog's been in a lot of pain. Well, he's in San Diego. They just finished the surgery. He's doing well. He has a brother. He's living well. And he lounges in a lush green backyard. And after the surgery, because they didn't want it to sunburn, she sent me a picture, and he has an umbrella that is hanging. So that's why I keep doing this, because I see the dogs at their worst, and then people that adopt them then turn around and send me pictures. And I get to see the after effect. And I think that's what keeps me going. But there's so many times that I have said I've got to quit. I can't keep doing this. But I think that it's going to be easier on all of us if we start with the education aspect. And I come across a lady that helps me down south. They give me food. They give me anything I want, basically, to feed these dogs. Because it's not uncommon for us to go out in one day and drop off 500 pounds of food. So you want to... You add that up, you know, and it gets expensive. I get blankets, I get anything I need to help, but I still have to drive down there, and you know the price of gas, okay? So I still have to drive down there and get it. His wife was an educator also, and they are called Operation Blankets of Love, and what they are is a nonprofit organization that reaches out to help rescues and to help homeless people with their pets, and everything. They've been around a long time. They have had shows on, they've been presented on TV, talk shows. You can look them up on YouTube and everything. But his wife developed this book to go into the elementary schools, basically like your third graders, and she holds large group assemblies with these kids. And she has come up with this book to start at that level so we can change this culture. And they can go into, you know, take it home. And this is one of the books, and it's the Cohen books, How to Care for Your Pet. And it talks about spaying and neutering, overpopulation. It talks about how to care for your dog, how in the shelter they have to sleep on the hard ground versus a nice soft bed. Treat your dog kindly, what to feed your dogs, get your dog the vaccination. So it covers everything, and it's a coloring book. And this gets the kids involved. And then afterwards, after the assembly, she says to get the kids involved, she says the teachers love it because they have the kids do blanket drives for rescues and shelters. And the room that brings in the most blankets and stuff for the rescues, and, you know, they get a pizza party or whatever. And or the kids will make, and I have some of them at home. I forgot to grab one. But it's a little blanket about yay big. And I think you've seen them where they tear them and they tie knots in them. Mm-hmm. The kids in the classroom make those. And then they send them into the shelters, the rescues and stuff with the dogs. In fact, I used some in Cash Dock to sleep on them out there during the rainstorm under the house he lived in. But there's lots of ways that we can do this. And I can pass this around. I have three of them here. But they would supply these to us. And, yeah. They supply this to me, and his wife is willing to even come out and do an assembly to get us first started, and then we can go from there, you know, and put our own spin on it, but we can see how she does it. So I thought, why not start here? It may work, it may not work, but, you know, if you don't try, you won't know. And I just think about those little kids giving up their dogs, how it didn't mean anything to them. It was just like a thing. And I thought, maybe if they had education, you know, how dogs are family members. They're just not something you tie in the yard and put a chain around their neck and act like, well, I've got a tough dog here. And then if they're not tough, what do? They go and they dump them out where I'm at because they're not good guard dogs. Or the dog gets too old and... we want a puppy now, but the abandonment is horrible, and that's why I call my rescue Saving Day Rescue, but it's not like D-A-Y, it's D-A, not D-A-Y, it's D-A-I-N-G, I, saving discarded, abandoned, and injured. Because I come across all three of those. All three. Just rescued a little dog that had an eye missing. We're getting ready to get it in and see what's going on there. And I suppose they probably dumped it because it wasn't the perfect dog. You know, probably got injured and don't want it anymore, or they can't afford to get it fixed. Like I said, I'm the first to say I'm new at this. I'm open for any ideas, but I think we need to start maybe with the education part. And how we approach that, I don't know, with COVID going on. We'd have to go in and check with the schools and see how we could do that. But I'm sure it could be done, you know, and everything.
What's the name of the group again with blankets?
Operation Blankets of Love, O-B-O-L.
Yes. I want to thank you for coming here tonight, because you know it almost didn't happen, and I had to have Sunday call her to get her here. So
well,
I was really glad you were able to make it.
Yeah, you know, it didn't slip my mind, but when I get out in the field, I get so in tune with the dogs that I forget.
Well, I have to tell you that your story is very compelling and kind of an inspirational story. What you're doing. You're a one-man band, a woman band doing this, and so I really want to commend you. Now, we have a dilemma here. We have to be out of this building before 8 o'clock, so it's kind of a two-edged sword. I'd like to quiz her for an hour, but we don't have the time to quiz her for an hour. But I do want to thank you. On these coloring books, how much are they?
They're nothing.
But if I want to get a copy, if I want to get one, how would I...
You
only brought three, but I don't want to...
I can give... He handed me a box of 100.
Okay. You know, it wouldn't be a bad thing to hand out to everybody, maybe at next month's meeting. Wouldn't be a bad thing.
You can donate 100 bucks to her for one.
Yeah. It would be a good thing. You know, like we hand out other things, it would be a bad thing to have them there on the table.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you mentioned, because I didn't hear everything you said, but you're willing to go to elementary schools and speak to them.
Yeah,
about
I mean, it couldn't be on a daily basis, but you know.
No, I mean, like, once in a while.
Yeah, you know, start with certain areas where I see a lot of the dumping happen is on the outside of Lamont, Edison Highway, and that area. That's my territory.
Yeah, we've been out there.
Yeah, and that's where I think I would target first, is maybe hit the Lamont schools, because there's just so many abandoned dogs in the field. And we have farmers that will tell us, they have my number, I wish they did now, but they call me, we just lost a hard dog, and, you know, and they are my eyes, so they let me know.
I wouldn't mind having you back on a semi-regular basis just to kind of give us an update, maybe once every 3 months or something like that. I don't know if that's possible for you, but I do want to open up questions to the commissioners if you have any questions for Kathy on.
You know, I would love to share. I have a lady that I met down south.
Well,
she took all my information and she's making me a spreadsheet, because I think since I started this, I'm at about 400 dogs.
I was going to ask you what the number was, because I thought it was... 300
yeah, plus, I think
that.
I'm about 400. She's going to
make me a spreadsheet, and I'd love to share that.
That's remarkable. Okay.
I know where I get and where to go.
Commissioner.
Yeah, we had Have a Heart Humane Society had obtained some coloring books. They don't look exactly like the ones that I'm seeing, but they're very similar. It's basically educating the kids.
Yeah, and these are really cool because they're in Spanish too.
Yes, which I don't believe ours are.
Yeah.
No, I think we do have both. We have Spanish and English coloring books.
Yeah.
But, you know, our main focus is, of course, in Tehachapi. But it is something that my mom felt very passionately about, is that it has to start. We have a new generation that has to be taught compassion towards animals.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of that is lost. So I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
I would just like to say the same kind of thing again. I think you're definitely on the right track with the education part of it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the kids take that home to their parents, and, mm-hmm. and you know, some of the parents that are going to be culturally or whatever are not as, you know, understanding, you know, and I think, you know, it's because it's the whole family, you know, and I think that's a good idea to start that way. Yeah. And thank you for everything you do.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
It also helps if you have a cute little puppy with you in the
puppy. I was just going to say that. Yeah, you have to get, according to the lady that put this book out, you do have to give your dog, what does she call it, a permit. You just can't take it on them.
Yeah.
But she has.
She has one.
Service dog.
Yeah.
Support code. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I very much appreciate what you do. I do raise service dogs and canine companions for dependents.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to do a presentation, they'll be allowed at this school.
Uh-huh.
So I can join up with you if you ever,
okay,
when you get to that point. Okay. I have a random puppy now, but I couldn't bring her because she's too young. She'd pee on the carpet. So I usually bring them to the commission meetings. I will.
Okay.
But thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
It's not being here. He was out there with me that day. So.
Yeah, I don't have too much. I just wanted to commend you for what you're doing. I should say when we figure out how we can get you into schools, I'm definitely open to helping build like some kind of curriculum for the kids as well with you,
yeah,
and go in with you. I know that, you know, I did it with a few rescues in the past. I know Marley's has gone into schools and stuff, but it wasn't really like just focused on, you know, spay and neuter. Actually, I went to Carrie's kids classroom one time.
With Mishka, right?
With Mila.
Mila.
Yeah. So it would be really great. I think it's something that's definitely needed, and if we need to go through the school board or anything like that, I'm willing to go to those meetings as well and advocate to get this implemented. I think it's a really good idea. And I also wanted to say your mother is also very, very sweet.
Yeah.
She's pretty
bright. I just want to also share with you, Gary, the mulberry tree that you were standing at there.
Yes.
We now have 3 dogs that have adopted them as their home. And these 3 dogs are there any time of the day, any day of the week, because that's their home. They got their water, they got their food, and they got the shade.
That's a shady spot.
Yeah, and so we're in the process. We're in the process of really getting close to trapping them. A rescue is looking at them too, but they just stay there. That's their home.
Could you bring some of those coloring books for next month?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. All right. So we're kind of running out of time here. So at this point, I want to announce that the next meeting is March 16th.
Commissioner Blackburn, before you adjourn. We need to put on the agenda for next month that it's time to reappoint the chairperson and vice chairperson. So just a heads up for next month, that will be on the agenda.
You'll need a quorum.
Yeah.
Someone's going to be in Ireland next month, fortunately.
So assuming we have a quorum, we will be voting for a chairperson and vice chairperson.
Okay.
One other thing, if anybody would like to get up tomorrow morning at 5:30 and transfer to Fort Knox for me.
Where's that?
Way past.
What city is it?
Anza. It's a long way down there.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Big rescue out there.
Okay. We really appreciate your work. And I'm going to talk to you after the meeting. So anyway, please put that on the agenda. And then our next meeting is March 16th. And at this point, I'd like to get a motion for adjournment.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.